And Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're catching up with Mercer County girls basketball coach Kate Engwall, who's getting set for her ninth season coming up in the winter. Hard to believe that's the case already, I know, for Coach Engwall. But just getting underway in the summer here, the first couple weeks of June. So as we start, how has the summer started for the Mercer County Golden Eagles and girls basketball?
It's been fun so far. We just stick to June, and I try not to overload them. The kids are so busy anymore in the summers. But we had Coach Rangel from Moline come down and do a clinic with some of our girls the first week, and we're actually hosting a league here for our varsity on Mondays in June. So tonight was the second week for that, and it's gone well. And we did a little team bonding trip with the varsity team last week as well. We had a ton of fun, so we're off to a good start.
So you talk about, you know, hosting the summer league here. I think it's 4 weeks in June, each Monday of the month. It looks like it's Mercer County, A-Town, Ridgewood, and Monmouth Roseville, right, kind of playing each other. So how'd that come to be? I know this is the first year you're hosting it. So how are you able to kind of put this together?
The last couple of years, we've gone up and played in the summer league at the Betplex. And for whatever reason, this year, they did not have a boys or a girls summer league. I know Monmouth Roseville and A-Town had gone up there in the past. So when I found out it was no more, I just shot Scott and Brent a text and asked them, hey, we're a central area. Would you guys want to come here on Mondays? And it just so happened to work out. And then I thought to ask Ridgewood as well, just to kind of round us out with the fourth team, and they were able to come. So it just kind of fell into our laps that it worked this way, but it's been great so far. It's just anytime you can get against another team and get up and down the floor is a good thing. So the fact that we don't have to travel for that this summer is even better.
So how do you approach, you know, summer stuff for basketball? I know probably wins and losses aren't the biggest factor you're looking at. I know it's probably more development-wise and progression. So, you know, entering a typical summer, what are some of the things you're trying to get out of it? What are some of the main focuses you want to accomplish?
So what's funny is that I know you mentioned at the top that this is going to be my ninth season. My approach to summer stuff has done like a 180 over those 9 years, and kind of where I've landed is this. The summer, the off season, it's going to be beneficial for the kids who are going to make it beneficial regardless of what I put onto a calendar. So I just approach it as it's my job to give them a framework for here's, you know, how you can get better. So I do not care about wins and losses in the summer. Obviously, I love winning and I want to win everything. But our focus in the summer is skill development. And to give them things that not only they do when we have our open gyms, but easy stuff to take home and do on their own. Because again, the kids that are going to be better in November because of it, that's where it's going to happen. It's not going to happen in the 12 days I have scheduled in June. It'll happen in, you know, the days and hours that they put in outside of my schedule. So yeah, it's not about wins and losses. It's just about skill development. But probably more than that, to me, the most important thing is not even building a chemistry on the floor, which we do kind of do, but building, I guess I'll call it more of a camaraderie amongst the team. And that has been, I think, over the first couple weeks this summer, and that team building trip really helped. But I feel that a lot with the girls who have been here. It's been really fun. And I can tell that we're growing together off the floor, and just hope that that translates onto the floor come November.
And talking about, you know, getting to November, I know looking at this team you had last year, kind of throughout the season, I kept saying, like, if this team can put it all together, look out, it was a really young group. And by the end of the season, I think you kind of did that. You got to a regional championship game against Sherrard. A ton of the nucleus you had on that team is back, where I think coming into the year, a lot of the roles of the kids, you probably already kind of know what each kid, you know, where they're going to slide in. So is there any difference, you know, coming into a summer like this where you go, okay, I kind of know what the makeup's going to look like? Is there any difference with, like, the progression coming into that?
It's interesting because, like you said, we had one senior last year. We lost Maddie Frieden to graduation. And while she maybe didn't put up stat lines that would catch anybody's eye, it was kind of the intangible stuff that she brought to the team. So we'll definitely have to collectively fill her shoes. But we do have a pretty good idea, I think, of what our roles are going to be as individuals and what we want to do as a team rolling into this year. Last year we struggled quite a bit. It was a frustrating year, but we did kind of get things put together the last 3-4 weeks of the season. And so the thought process was, can we pick up there? Can we pick up there and build from that over the summer and get a step up come November? And that's kind of been the thought process for myself. I think the girls think that as well. And at least 2 weeks in, it looks like we've done that. So hopefully we can just keep it rolling.
I'm interested to ask you about this too. I know in the summer for kids, it can be really busy, especially, 2-3 sport athletes. And when you look at girls athletics, I know like summer softball has always been a beast really with the schedule that some kids play, and volleyball is getting that way too. And I think when you look at participation numbers, girls basketball over the past, 5-6 years has kind of taken a hit, I think. And I think, with some of the excitement around like the NCAA tournament you see, I think you hopefully will see that kind of turn back around. But do you think there's like a solution summer wise for kids who are multiple sport athletes, or what do you think maybe is the best way to try and divvy it up for kids who are busy like that?
Right, it is hard. It's a hard question. And you've seen it for years with Rockridge and softball. You've seen it for years with Orion and volleyball. And it hasn't been too big of an issue here at Mercer County. I would say just the last couple of years, maybe this year specifically, you're seeing it a little bit more with softball. And it's tough. And I don't know what the right answer is. And I don't know if there is one. I know that the coaches at Mercer County, we work hard to make sure our schedules don't conflict, and we don't ever want to put the kids in a position where they have to make a choice. And then the issue becomes, when they play these travel sports, and the travel sports are great and they serve a good purpose. And as a general statement, I would not say this is specific to Mercer County. This is, I think, specific to all high school athletes across the nation. It seems like we're getting into specializing. Specializing in one sport, specializing early, and I don't think that I know that's not the solution. So that's, again, I don't have an answer for you, but I know it's not specializing.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Since we last talked with you, Mercer County, I think the big news, right, is the Golden Eagles accept an invitation to the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. Now that'll start in 2024-25, so not this coming school year, but the school year after that. Any reaction to that move?
Yeah, I love it. I'm thrilled about it. I was hoping that's the way things would fall, and it did. Just think back to our games with Sherrard, with Rockridge, with Monmouth Roseville. The atmosphere at those games is always top-notch, and to think that, that will kind of be the standard going forward is exciting. For me personally, one of my things, our goal is we want to compete in the offseason, and I think that this move is going to position us better to be able to compete in the offseason, because we'll be consistently playing the teams that we will see in the postseason. So I'm thrilled for that reason. It's easier to have, these local rivalries. We don't have a local rivalry with Stark County or Galva or Princeville. It doesn't exist. And, the fan base isn't, it's a quiet gym when we play those schools. So based on atmosphere alone, I'm thrilled.
All right. And then, some other, kind of housekeeping stuff around the high school basketball game. There will be one rule change starting this season. The bonus structure is going to change. So for the listener, if you're not aware, there won't be a 1-1 anymore. It'll be not half. It'll be by quarter. So if you get 5 fouls in a quarter, then it's a basically a double bonus. You get 2 free throws. Do you like the rule change there? I think the idea is it'll give the game a better flow. So what do you think of the foul rule change?
I'm still processing my thoughts. The college game does this, so it's not surprising to me that high school is moving to that rule. I think it'll make a difference. It's going to be a lot tougher to come back if you get down in a game, because instead of a 1-1, you're giving the team, 2 free throws instead of an opportunity to rebound a miss and go the other way. And I think, too, it'll make, the little fouls that I find super annoying, 80 feet from the rim, there's no reason to foul. It'll make those more annoying because it you know, they'll be in double bonus at 5 fouls now instead of 7. So I think we'll definitely see early on the impact that that's going to have on the game. I'll add, we have Moline JV is going to come down next Tuesday, and instead of doing a typical run and clock game, we're going to play 4 quarters like a standard IHSA game and test out that new rule. So that'll be fun.
And then another thing that potentially could be coming, it seems like it's turning that way, is the shot clock. I know you got a chance to play with it once last year at Wharton Fieldhouse. What do you think, I guess, what was kind of the experience like playing with the shot clock for the first time in a varsity game? And then do you, you know, lean one way or the other, whether you want to see the shot clock or do you want the high school game to continue on without it in Illinois?
I'm kind of like, it's irrelevant to me. Like for our game, I know why we're implementing the shot clock, because anytime there's a game where, you know, the final score is 8-2, everybody screams shot clock, and super valid. I think that's the exception to the rule when games like that happen, at least in our area, right? So we got to play with a shot clock last year at the IH Mississippi Valley Shootout. And our experience there, it was just kind of a non-factor, because I would love for our team to have an offensive possession that lasted 35 seconds. There were several times during that game, I remember I turned, I think it was Ty sitting next to me, and I said, we have had the ball for forever, and there is still 10 seconds left on this shot clock. So offensively for us, it was kind of a non-factor, I guess. But I will say we had 2 or 3 defensive shot clock violations. So depending on, you know, the group you can put onto the floor, I think at least for us, it's probably more realistic that we could use it to our advantage defensively. I give it or take it. I think it's fine. It's a good idea. What'll be interesting more than anything, I think, is schools' abilities to field staff that can operate that shot clock in a correct way for a game.
As we wrap up with you, you mentioned the team bonding experience you had earlier in our conversation. You know, I saw a couple like pictures on social media where the kids had like harnesses on. So what in the world did Coach Engwall make those kids do last week?
We went to a ropes course, and it was awesome. It was a combination of low to the ground challenges and then harness up, and we're going to take you however high up in the air we were. I went up at one point too. I did one of the activities and it was high. But it was just an awesome experience. The girls were not thrilled that I had them leave town at 6:30 a.m. But a little breakfast pizza and donuts will solve that issue. And we had an awesome time when we were there. The team building aspect of it was really nice, but like I told some of the coaches when I got back, I'm like, we just had such a nice day together. And it goes back to what we talked about, like just building a camaraderie by just being here. So we went to a ropes course in Dubuque and it was awesome.
Mercer County girls basketball coach Kate Engwall joining us as the Golden Eagles continuing the summer schedule. Coach Engwall, is it November yet? I can't wait.
It'll be here before we know it, Ty.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach Engwall. And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.